Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie, the crocuses are up and the tulips are up, and then we got a little bit of snow overnight, but nobody said a word about it. We don't talk about this sort of thing. It just is gone. You just have to be able to look at snow on the ground in the middle of April and not see it whatsoever. It's part of Minnesota. You don't move to Minnesota for a temperate climate. This is theater, is what that is. You don't go to the theater to hear people talk murmuring, comforting talk to each other for 90 minutes. You go for a drama. That's Minnesota. That's weather in Minnesota. It's not about climate. It's about excitement. And then when spring finally comes and you hear the loons out on the lake as you did this week, their mournful cries in the morning and those thrilling cries at night, they're out there mating. They've been married for years. They're monogamous. They're faithful. And yet they still are passionate about each other. It's a glorious, glorious thing. The ice went out on the lake Sunday night. And so the Pontiac went through the ice, which is part of the Guess the Ice Melt contest. And the winner of the contest was Dorothy, so she wins the trolling motor. She never goes fishing, and so now she has a trolling motor. And them that wants it has not, and them who don't has it, and it's the same the whole world over. The tundra swans came in this week. Hundreds of them, beautiful white birds, came sailing in and landed on the lake. They spend the winter in North Carolina, most of them, and they're on their way up to their breeding grounds, which is in the Canadian Arctic. Good to bring up children where it is cold. And they settled in, they landed, and it brought back beautiful memories of years ago when the tundra swans came in and there was all white out on our lake. These tourists come in, we weren't expecting them, and they come in low and you can hear their bones, you can hear their wings as they're gliding in, and they're all squawking and calling and laughing to each other, and they land. And then they take off a day or two later on their way up to Canada. But that particular year, there was one bird who did not take off. And Lyle, the biology teacher, rowed out in a rowboat to see what was the matter. He had a good idea what was wrong. And he was expecting he was going to have to restrain this swan. But the swan was perfectly calm as Lyle took his scissors and he snipped the fish line that the bird had become entangled in, and he unwound it from his great left wing, and he took all of it off and gave the bird a little push and expected the bird to take off, but the bird did not take off. Well, he figured he must be tired, so he helped the bird into a cove and thought he would rest there for the night, but the bird didn't go away, and he stayed day after day after day. He stayed the whole summer. And when the tundra swans flew back over in the fall on their way south, that bird did not fly up to join them. He had by now decided that he was a dog. And he made his life with the dogs of Lake Wobegon, who are a sociable bunch. They do not lead monastic lives like big city dogs do. They get together, you know, in committees, and they have seminars and conferences. And like Lutherans, you know, they all like to get together in a big group, and they go here and there, and they discuss various things. And in their midst was this white swan who made himself part of the group and seemed to be accepted by them. People worried about this swan, that he would be run over by a car or that he'd get in a fight with a dog. But no, he became one of them. And it was a remarkable thing to see kept expecting him to fly away, but he never did. His fellow swans came in the spring, and they came back over in the fall, and he made his life with us, and is a remarkable example of independence. Gave us some insight into our own children who leave their tribe and go off to New York, go off to L.A., go off to Austin, Texas, go here and there and settle down amongst aliens and somehow learn to imitate them and to be like them. It was a remarkable thing. We expected this swan, whom we named Jean, because we didn't know the gender. And when this swan laid down and died on a summer night, after 15 years among us, his loss was felt. He had enlarged our world, and he is still remembered whenever the tundra swans fly in. Remembered not only by us, but also by the dogs of Lake Wobegon, who come to the shore of the lake and look out at this great mass of white out there. Just stand and look at all those birds. It's easier for a swan to become a dog than it is for a dog to become a swan. And that's just how things are. It was a week of ferocious cleaning and people getting their lawns in shape and ferocious raking and men sweeping out garages and women re-sweeping the garages. Mr. Magandance was out. The first lawnmower was heard on Sunday. That was Mr. Magandance, who kind of leads the way in everything. He'd fertilized his lawn a week before, so it was greener than other lawns, and he was out there mowing it back and forth and back and forth and then crosswise both ways. He had a couple of enormous hydrangea plants that he had set out on his front walk. It was kind of show-offy to people in Lake Wobegon. You don't necessarily want to have the best lawn in your block. Also, you don't want the crappiest. You want to be somewhere in the middle. But that one lawnmower on Sunday afternoon at the Magandances triggered all these other neighbors to get out and mow their lawns as well. All up and down McKinley Street, you could see them. They were out there. Leroy, our town constable, got to work on his lawn while Eleanor was off at church. He usually gets fertilizer in a bag, but he'd gone out to his cousin Roger's farm, and he got some cow manure, and he brought a whole trailer load of it in, and he dumped it behind the house where he'd also had a big load of black dirt, and the idea was that he was going to mix in the manure with the dirt and then scatter that on the lawn. This was out by the corner of the garage, which he was supposed to sweep and did not. He was in the midst of spring attention deficit disorder and sort of moving from one thing to another. And here was the deck that he started 3 years ago, which is not finished yet and not occupiable. Eleanor was off at church, and he got started with his rototiller, and he was mixing up the manure with the dirt, but the manure was wetter than he expected it to be, so it was sticking to the teeth of the rototiller. And after a while, he turned off the rototiller, and he headed over to his cousin Harold's house, which is down the street, to help him fix his lawnmower. Harold wanted to borrow some tools, but Leroy didn't want to lend him tools because he never returns them, so he went down to help Harold fix the lawnmower, and then they sat down and started to talk about American policy in Libya, and that was when Eleanor came home from church to find the place smelling like a feedlot and all of this manure, and her husband hadn't done anything, hadn't cleaned out the gutter, hadn't cleaned out the garage, and there he was down the street. She could have yelled to him, but she didn't. She didn't say anything. It was beyond words. She got out a shovel, and she just started to mix the manure in with the dirt. She worked with a fury for about half an hour, and after half an hour, her fury had been dissipated somewhat. The beauty of hard work, it's a great way to focus anger and to redirect it. Many a homicide has been averted with some hard work in the yard. One more reason not to own a gun, a shovel. A shovel is what you want, is what you want. She worked hard at it. She worked hard for a long time. When you walk down a street and you see these beautiful yards so well kept, you're looking at anger that's been redirected to make something beautiful. Instead of writing anonymous violent blogs, people have raking. Raking is a useful thing. He knew that she was angry. He could see it by the way she was holding herself and by the way she was holding the shovel. So he gave her a wide berth when he came back, and he started up the rototiller, and that's eliminated the need for conversation, a two-cycle engine, and he worked at it for a while, and she went inside, and she went upstairs, and she took a bath for 45 minutes. And when the bath was over, then she was ready to resume the marriage. A shovel, remember that. What you do in New York, I have no idea. That's for you to know and me to find out. So the gospel last week in the Lutheran Church was the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Pastor Liz prepared a sermon about this, about the beauty of family and how we should hold on to each other, because you never know how long we have to be together on this earth. And then when she looked at the sermon, she realized that she couldn't deliver the sermon because it was just too moving to her. Pastor Liz has a brother who just disappeared about 4 years ago. No sign of where he went, didn't leave a note or anything. Nobody knows. He just vanished. He had something else to do somewhere. So she couldn't give this sermon without breaking down. So she gave her emergency sermon, which you always want to have in your back pocket for this sort of eventuality. It was a sermon about using our God-given talents, which is good for any time of year and not all that interesting, so doesn't really affect people that much. The youth group met after church to discuss Palm Sunday, when they're going to have a served breakfast for the whole town, egg bake and so forth next Sunday. So they were not standing outside the church right after the service. When it happened, there were older people standing there, and suddenly a red hawk came down out of the sky and went after a pigeon who was walking across the grass into the Lutheran parking lot. A pigeon just walking across the grass, and out of the sky came this fury of feathers and this shriek of the prey, and then it was all over for the pigeon, and the hawk dragged his dinner away across the sidewalk as the old people watched. It was quite something to see after you'd heard about the resurrection of Lazarus. And he took his dinner up into a tree, and then pieces of pigeons started to fall down on the ground. And then the children came out and asked, "What are you looking at? What? No, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Red hawk. That's all. Never mind. Let's all go this way." And they all went home. They all went home. That same afternoon, there was a little girl on the swings down at the park. She'd sung in the youth choir that morning, and she was singing the song they had sung in youth choir, which sounded pretty good in youth choir, but really sounded better swinging on swings and going higher and higher up into the sky. "For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love that from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And she was just about to sing the verse about the joy of love and brother, sister, parent, child. And then she saw that she was being watched by someone at the other end of the park, and she was embarrassed, and she took off running barefoot across the park. And down the alley behind Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery and behind the Mercantile, there's glass in that alley. She ran barefoot into that alley. But we all have to face these hazards. There are red-tailed hawks in the sky. There's broken glass in the alley. But what a beautiful, beautiful earth. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.